Good morning and welcome to Family Life. Your host, Salima Muhammad, and Dr. Nadia Muhammad. This program is sponsored by New Africa Excellence, Mirage Speaks. Dr. Muhammad will be with us at the end of the month to speak about public health initiatives. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most gracious and most merciful. I greet the listening audience in the peace of As-Salaamu Alaikum. This week, we have a wonderful special guest. The entertainer is Art Array, a native of Washington, D.C., is classically trained vocalist, songwriter, graduated from the prestigious Duke Ellington School of the Arts in Washington, D.C. Art has opened for and learned from such superstars as Kanye West, Miguel, Faith Evans, and many more. Art's debut single, California Sunset, was released in 2019, well-received and reviewed, following fans, eagerly anticipating more. Art's follow-up release in July 2020, Keep On, was selected by the group Black Women for Biden as its theme song for Gen Z Millennials events leading up to the imminent presidential election. Sessions for his debut album have just concluded, and Art is extremely excited to share it with the world. It features a fantastic global roster of musicians and includes horns and a 25-piece string orchestra, bass guitars, drums, piano, a choir, a shimmering production featuring funk, soul, pop, and truth. Art's television interviews include Laura Stokes, Fox 5, Get Ready for Even More Good Times, her new 2021 single release. Art says dark times, no thanks. Good times is a dance floor reading, bringing some good vibes during these unprecedented times. Art, welcome.
Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for having me.
Alaikum assalam.
Thank you. That was quite an introduction. Thank you.
Art, I love the dark times. No thanks.
Me too.
What a daily affirmation. Let's talk about your personal journey for a while.
Well,
what age did you know your love of music?
Well, that's a great question. My journey of music started, I believe, in the womb of my mother, Rhonda Bilal. She has such a beautiful voice. My dad is a pianist, and they are from Gary, Indiana, so the home of the Jackson 5 and Michael Jackson, of course, Janet, and I love all of those artists. And they were singing and playing piano together when my mom was pregnant with me. And coming out of the womb, you know, they were doing the same thing. And I got to learn from my dad how to play piano at a young age. And for some odd reason, I just picked up songwriting when I was 6 years old. And I was really shy at everything, to talk in public. And it surprises me now because I'm, you know, I'm not shy to speak. Sometimes I think I talk too much now. But at a young age, I just figured out I have something special. I have a gift of something that's in my voice. And when I would sing, I could feel it myself. So my dad and I started to perform when I was about 8, 9 years old. And I just felt like this was my calling. I said, well, this makes me feel really, really good when I'm performing on stage. And we would perform in the Muslim community at different community shows. And eventually, you know, I'm the oldest of five children. So we would perform like a modern-day Jackson 5, kind of, sort of. We were nowhere near as great, but we had a passion to sing and wanted to show off, and there were a lot of different talent shows. So they were offering money, and, of course, as kids, you think that money is like the number one thing. And we were like, hey, we're going to win these talent shows and get the money, and we never would win. But it, for me, was a great learning from ground zero, a great learning complex for me, because I was able to start to own my craft at such a young age. And I knew then, I always knew that singing and music was what I wanted to do, and I've never steered away from that. And I think when Allah instills a gift in you, you should listen to that and just try to do your best to be the best that you can at whatever it is that you're passionate about.
You crossed over and you incorporated classical into pop, funk, and to me a little jazzy.
Mm-hmm.
Explain the difference between Gen Z millennia type of music versus hip-hop and old school, and what is this new audience you're trying to reach? And tell me what your music features as a process.
Mm-hmm. Great question. Well, I believe the difference in the music today is that a lot of people, to be honest, a lot of artists, I don't think they put as much time and care and don't focus on the quality of the music. Not all artists, because there are a lot of great artists out there still. But I think because music is now so microwavable, and you can just put it in the microwave and then for 30 seconds and you pop it out, and people think that, okay, I have a hit record, and there's no love, you know, like when you're cooking, you have to put love in those sweet potatoes. You have to put love into that chicken, so that way when it's finished, you can taste that and you can feel that in music. And I feel like that's what's missing nowadays in comparison to what was going on before my time and all of the great music back in the 70s and 80s and even the 90s. For me personally, I take a little bit of everything. I'm inspired by so many different genres. I was trained in six different languages, and like you said, from classical music, I started at Levine School of Music playing piano at the age of 10, and I graduated from DeGallanton School of the Arts, and between those two places, I was able to, you know, just learn so many different ways of how to use my voice and what good music is. And I feel like, again, that's what's missing, which is quality and people taking their time to even own their craft and learn their craft, and it never stops, you know. So I was listening to a couple of songs today, and I said, wow, the music was so great back in the day, you know. And I, of course, the obvious people aren't, as far as singers, aren't really singing. It's more like the mumble rap, and there's nothing wrong with that. I enjoy it, but I feel like that's the main thing that's missing, is just people caring about what they're putting out and holding themselves as artists to a higher quality.
There's an exhilarating energy in your music, and it's absolutely refreshing. What instruments do you play?
Well, I classically, I'm trained in piano and voice. So I tried to learn guitar a couple of times, and I'm never going to stop trying to learn. But piano is definitely my thing. I'm actually not doing that as much as I am singing, but I am, especially during this COVID-19 time, I've been picking up a lot of different things that I used to do because I have a little bit more time on my hands, but piano and voice.
And you write your own music.
I do, and I've been writing since I was 6 years old. I still have all of my books from that age, and I just keep it locked up, and maybe every couple of years I'll look back on it and say, wow, I've come such a long way. I've come a long way.
Yes, ma'am. Your favorite classical piece and why?
My favorite classical piece? I would say it's an Italian aria. My very first song that I learned is Caro Mio Ben.
Yes, and oh, wow.
I think everybody that knows classical music knows that song. And it's my favorite because it's my, like, the first song that I ever learned. So that along with another song, it's called O Fortuna. I don't know if you've heard of that as well.
I have not heard of.
Ironically, it's about 2 hours long to sing. So I learned that in high school, and we performed that twice. And on the stage, there was one person that passed out because the song is so long. But
I believe it.
Yeah, it was so long. It's so long. But you've heard it in a lot of, speaking of hip-hop and what's going on now, even Puff Daddy took that song and they, you know, made it into their own. And I've heard it on a couple of different commercials. And with Caro Mio Ben, that song is about love. It's simple and it's just very beautiful. It's a very beautiful genre. And yeah, I salute all of the classical singers and opera singers because it's not easy to do. It takes a lot of training. And it's shunned upon because it's different from what you hear on the radio, but it's extremely beautiful.
It really is, and the
yes.
stories can go on for hours. And
yes.
such heart and soul, and that's what I'm finding in the music, heart and soul. I remember a saying that my mom said before she transitioned,
mm-hmm.
and she said, don't forget. She says, love, laugh, and don't forget to dance. Because we just always love dancing. She was the mother of 9 children. You're the oldest of 5. I'm the oldest of 9.
Wow.
Dance all the time. We love dancing and choreographing and such. And,
wow.
Yes. So. To bring dance back so classically,
mm-hmm.
it's just amazing.
Thank
so
you.
Let's think about this for a minute. Because you, from what I understand, was born and raised in Islam, and that in itself is a
mm-hmm.
challenge.
Mm-hmm.
How did you work and do you work with the stereotypes? Maybe coming from a cultural perspective
mm-hmm.
more than anything as to what a Muslim woman should be and propagating your music,
mm-hmm.
please.
That's a wonderful question. Being raised in a Muslim household or Muslim family, there was a lot of love, a lot of values, and one huge thing with being Muslim, and especially as a child, that I am so appreciative of is discipline. And I grew up going to Sister Claire Muhammad School in Washington, D.C. from kindergarten all the way up until 5th grade. And I went to a Muslim public charter school from kindergarten to 6th and then 7th and 8th grade. Junior high, I went to public charter school Village Learning Center. And growing up for those many years in a Muslim school, we wore uniform. Like I said, it's a very disciplined school. We made all of the salats while we were there. You know, a lot of our schooling was based around, of course, Islam. And I learned a lot of things, especially reading the Quran and just a lot of the principles of Islam. So I never felt like an outsider because I was within a school that everybody, pretty much we all practice the same things. And after junior high school, I then went on to Duke Ellington School of the Arts, and it was a completely different environment, and I had to learn how to pick out my clothes. And at that time, you know, when you're so young, you're trying to just figure yourself out and, I would say, in a way, fit in. And I remember, you know, me going to school and I said, hey, I don't dress like everybody else. You know, I gotta find some cool clothes to wear. I have to, you know, I don't want to wear my hijab because I don't want people to make fun of me. And at this time, 9/11 happened, and, of course, there was a lot of flack for Muslims at that time, and it was terrible. You know, in my heart, I felt horrible about it. And, you know, the days that I did decide to wear my hijab, people would look at me and say, well, why do you have that thing on your head? And I would say, well, I'm Muslim, so is there anything wrong with it? And they would say no. And there were other kids in school that wore their hijabs, not many, but or that were Muslim, and people knew that they were Muslim. And I, after a while, I wasn't ashamed of it. I said, yeah, I'm Muslim. There's nothing wrong with that. And I learned so much about myself, you know, even with fasting in high school and even in elementary school, I fasted, you know, at, from a certain age. And, again, there's that discipline. So after high school, of course, I started to learn more about myself. As my mom says, you'll never stop learning about yourself. You're always going to continue to learn who you are. And now at this age and with my music, again, I my message is love, and I spread that. And Islam is a beautiful, beautiful religion. And people always come to me and they say, there's something within you. There's a light within you. There's, you know, something that's missing from a lot of other people or a lot of artists that they meet. And, you know, in my heart I say, well, it's Allah. You know, if I didn't have that, then I wouldn't be who I am. So dealing with the stereotypes, you're going to always get that. I'm going to always get that. But in my heart, I know where I come from, and that's all that matters. The only thing that matters is where I'm going to go when I'm not on this earth anymore, and that's to return to Allah. So that's all that matters.
So beautifully put. Earlier you stated you speak 6 different languages.
I have been trained to sing in 6 different languages. I wish I could speak in 6 different languages.
That, certainly that's a part of the classical training.
Yes, classical training. Also within speaking in Afro-Cuban. So the languages, of course, are English, French, Italian, Afro-Cuban, even singing some Arabic and German. And my very first vocal coach, Imani Gonzalez, who I met at Levine School of Music when I was 11 years old, she told me that, you know, I had a very special gift. And she hired me to sing an Afro-Cuban song on one of her albums at that time, and I was the only child in the studio. That was my first time in a professional studio, at a professional studio experience. And, again, I was the only child, and she paid me for that. And I was just thrilled. I didn't even know that people got paid to do something that they love to do. And at that point, I said, wow, this is great. So singing a different, also, you know, just something that is discipline. And, yeah, I think that it's a beautiful thing to do so.
The French, the Italian, romantic.
Yes, all romance
languages. How do you fit that portion in the English genre of music?
It's so funny. My manager, David Somerville, and I were having this conversation, I believe, yesterday.
Oh,
where it's so funny because I was scrolling through Instagram, And every song, they were songs from today's music, from the 70s, from before, from the 90s. And every single song that we went through had the word love in it, not just once, but all throughout. And I think that one thing that someone taught me when I was starting to really take my music serious as a songwriter and a singer was that talk about things that people go through on a regular basis and people can relate to. And the number one thing is love, you know. And I feel like if you don't incorporate that in your music, it's not relatable. So with the songs on my upcoming album, Art Exhibit, you're going to hear a lot of songs about love. My very first single, California Sunset, talks about a love that you remember, nostalgia. And I feel like without love, things can't get accomplished in life. Everything revolves around love. You have to have a love for yourself, a love for your brother, a love for your sister. And I talk about that a lot in my music as well.
How do we do that during these times, love?
Well, I feel like that's something that we absolutely need, especially with everything that's going on with COVID-19, with these protests, of course, with this election that just came about. With everything that's going on in the world today, my duty as an artist is to bring people together. It is to create that balance because people listen to music to a lot of times to forget about their troubles and their worries. So me as an artist, if I'm talking about something that they can escape from, I feel like people will always gravitate towards those type of songs. Like, I don't want to be in the midst of, you know, being sick and then I'm listening to a song where I'm talking about sick. I'm staying sick. I'm going to stay sick. Nobody wants to hear that. People want to be taken away from their troubles and their worries. And again, my duty as an artist is to bring that, especially during these times, because there's so much in the world that's trying to bring us down, and my job is to bring us together.
Before my next question, this show is brought to you by New Africa Extra and the Lost Beats. Art, what is the most surprising thing you have learned about yourself through your musical journey?
That's a great question. What is the most surprising? I really love all these questions that you're asking.
Thank you.
The most surprising thing that I've learned about myself, I would have to say that the person that I am in real life is the person that is in the music. So what I mean by that is my entire life as an artist, I've always just tried to figure out what is my sound? Who am I? What, you know, what do I want people to get from my music? Should I be, you know, like when you meet people in person and they're not the same person that they are in their music is super positive or, you know, it's super fun. And then when you meet them in person, they're not that person. I'm not saying that everybody has perfect days every day, but for me, I am the same person in real life as I am in my music, and the same person that I am on this interview. I've always been a really nice person, always been a really good person, and speaking positive, what's in my heart and what's in my mind is the same thing that I put on paper and I put into my music. So I would say, I don't know if you would call that surprising, but for me, again, as I'm continuously learning who I am on my journey throughout life, that's one thing that I can say I love, and I'll stay true to that.
I hear the Afro-Cuban in your music. And it personally sort of reminds me of Nestor Torres.
Okay.
Pointe, so I think you're going in a very interesting direction. How has Afro-Cuban influenced your music?
Great question. I don't know if it's specifically just one genre.
It's not. but I do hear that, and I think something else is developing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great point. I think a little bit of everything that I've learned in life, just period, not even just Afro-Cuban, is sprinkled in my music. And even singing different songs like Masquinada and
yes.
I love that song. And I've done that before with my band in the past. And, you know, I would listen to these songs after I make my music, and I'm like, hey, I should incorporate different sounds into my music. And my manager suggested that. He said, well, why don't you start to put all the live instrumentation in your music? Why don't you do that? Because in the past, I wasn't. I was, again, just trying to find myself and just fitting in. And I think what's interesting about putting different types of styles of music in within what I'm doing, I think more people will see the uniqueness, because a lot of times we don't see ourselves, you know. And once you do that, and people say, oh, you're unique. And the whole time you can think that you're unique, but what makes you unique? So a sprinkle of the percussion in my song Good Times by Aaron Draper, who also plays with Jay-Z and Adele and Rihanna and all of these different artists, and for him to be on my song Good Times, that added that Afro-Cuban style. And even and even the saxophone at the end, that also adds elements of jazz. And I feel like even with Afro-Cuban music, it has those elements. It has a little bit of everything sprinkled in. And with the live instrumentation, with the strings and the 27-piece string orchestra and the bass and the guitars and the keyboards, I mean, I feel like that can be interpreted as anything. You know, every time someone says, oh, I heard your music, it sounds a little bit like this. Oh, I heard California Sunset, it sounds like a Sade song. I heard this. And she also has a lot of those elements in her music, and I love her music as well. So different influences and different inspirations for me have been put into my music. And it's funny because Good Times has a little bit of everything, but the music that's coming out soon in my album has a little bit of everything mixed in there. So thank you for pointing that out.
You are very welcome. How is the world currently receiving your music? And what is one of the most poignant compliments you received of your music?
Well, the way that the world is receiving my music right now, there are people, sprinkles of people all over the world that due to the reach of social media, and also if anyone's listening that's on social media, my Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter are Art is Worldwide. So Art is Worldwide, all one word. And due to social media and the internet, my music is able to reach people all over the world. So I've had a lot of people from Nigeria contacting me, and my prayers are with them through their struggle of the SARS movement, the NSARS movement, and just a lot of people from India and all over the world and contacting me and saying, hey, I want to work with you, or I love your music, and playing it in India and even Australia, all over the world, and just saying, hey, you're a great artist, and I love your music and your song. And I think that it speaks for itself, you know, just to say that, you know, I enjoy what you're doing. And it took so long to make these records. We took about 2.5 years to make these songs, so almost 3 years, and we're still going. So I think the biggest compliment is from little girls that contact me and my messages on Facebook, and people that text me and say, well, especially the young girls, I'll say, there's been a lot of really great compliments, but I feel like from the little girls, that really means a lot to me. And they say, whenever I see your videos, I say to myself, I want to be just like you, you know. I want to get out of you know, poverty. I want to get out of where I'm from, and you give me hope. So messages like that, I think, supersede any other type of positive messages. They all mean a lot to me, but the thing is, I'm not going to be here forever. So who am I inspiring when I'm not here on this earth anymore? You know, I think it's important that artists know that people, young people are looking up to them, and whatever we leave for them is what they have, and they can always build upon that. But I think the messages from children and young girls are the most beautiful compliments that I've received.
How beautiful. In public health, the imminent message is you are what you think.
Mm.
You mentioned the various places. India, I can you love doing the dances, the traditional dances here at home.
Mm-hmm.
And your music certainly allows worldwide celebration.
Mm, thank you.
Where have you visited, and where would you like to visit? And then let's talk about film. Are you doing any works for film specifically?
Oh, sure. So me as an artist, I haven't toured outside of the United States yet. But inshallah, after COVID-19, I definitely will. I lived in Turkey when I was a young girl. My dad was in the military, so I had the pleasure of doing that. I really don't remember anything from there other than looking at pictures. But I lived in Ankara, Turkey, and my brother was born there, so we lived there for a little bit. And the places that I would like to go to is everywhere, the entire world. And speaking, like you said, whatever you think, whatever you speak, you become that. So with my Instagram handle and my social media handles as Art is Worldwide, I'm speaking that into existence because, inshallah, one day my music will be globally known. It will be worldwide, and I would like to travel everywhere in the world. So there's not one particular place, but I love, like, you know, I would love to go to Africa, in Nigeria as well. I would love to go to any islandy places in South America. One day, inshallah, I will be able to take a vacation. All of my money and my manager's money has been spent on my career. So one day, hopefully, I will get to use that money to enjoy myself outside of performing and singing, or do a little bit of both. And yeah,
we have a family friend, and he sings classically.
Mm-hmm.
And he's retired, and many years ago,
okay,
he visited Spain, and mm-hmm. It was during the time, you know, where the euro had dropped significantly, and people were essentially suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the middle class had disappeared, et cetera. And he sang, you know, with his group there, a choir specifically. And he started crying, and I said, what is bringing tears to your eyes? And he said the people ran up to him, men and women and children, and thanked him for bringing such beautiful music.
Aww.
To lift their spirit.
Mm.
And your music speaks to this, to lifting the spirits for young and old.
Mm.
And I think this is so significant. Your choreograph, the style, how do you keep yourself from getting injured?
Well, That's a great question. Well, for Good Times, it was choreographed by a beautiful person out of New York, Candace Michelle Franklin. And, you know, of course, dancing is, like, not my biggest strength, but I love to do it and I love to perform. So, of course, those Good Times, it makes you move your feet. And I say that in the song as well. So we knew that we had to get a choreographer for this and dancers. From keeping myself from getting injured, I just take my time. You know, I kind of just move at my own pace. And in the meantime, you know, I work out and I do a lot of stretching and I'm learning my body, because that's another thing that dancers, they focus on as well, to know how your body looks doing certain things. And the one thing that I always would do is try to move my feet so fast that I would injure my big toe, not to the point where I was, you know, hurt badly or anything, but there's been maybe a couple of times where sometimes you're moving so fast. And I do see a lot of performers that get injured so much. So I'm not dealing with, you know, rollings or cartwheels or anything like that. So I think I'll be okay. But it's just to take your time and to stretch. I think that's the number one thing. And to do it often, because the more often you do it, it just becomes second nature.
We have a new president-elect.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see the future of America?
Well, I pray that it'll be better than the last 4 years. I do see with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to take this country to more diverse limits and to do things differently than they've been done in the past. And I hope that, of course, a lot of this racism starts to die. I know that there's a lot of hate in people's hearts, and it's surprising to see, especially within these last 4 years. I feel like as women, we'll have more rights to control our bodies and not, you know, people telling us, oh, you can't have an abortion, or, you know, there's so many different policies that I feel like will change, hopefully, and the Republicans won't give them a hard time with passing a lot of these policies and bills and laws. But I do feel like we are moving towards a new America, and within my song, Good Times, in the video, you do see that, and that's one thing that I wanted people to take from the music video, with us moving and dancing and the singing and what I'm saying in the lyrics. But also there's a whole thing going on as far as a new America, with women by my side as the guitar player and the bass player and string players and the dancers in the video. There's a lot of women in my videos, and even a part of my team behind the scenes, there are a lot of women with me as well. So female empowerment, I think, with Kamala Harris being in the office, I feel like we'll get a lot more of that, and especially us women of color being looked at in a different light. And I feel like it's been been going on for a while, but I definitely see a new coming of America, and inshallah that will happen. And again, the hate in people's hearts will, and, you know, we'll all be looked at as one human race, and not just saying, oh, you're black, you're white, you're Muslim, you're Jew. We're all a part of the human race, and hopefully we'll all treat each other that way.
Yes. Whitney Houston just inducted into the Music Hall of Fame.
Yes.
What is your response to that?
Long overdue. Long overdue. She's one of the greatest singers ever. No one can sing like Whitney Houston. She's, like, out of this world. She was out of this world. And she, of course, I feel, died so young, and, you know, her life was just filled with with so many different things. And she was who she was in her music, you know, with her personality. But, you know, of course she had some things in her heart and her mind and her soul that she couldn't escape. But I feel like it's long overdue, and I'm happy to see it. I'm a huge fan of Whitney Houston. I study her. I love everything that she brought to the music industry, so long overdue.
A beautiful natural. You speak about women and, you know, playing different instruments. One of the greats, I feel, is Sheila E.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, working with the...
Mm-hmm. Les Prince.
Yes. And he used to injure himself all the time.
Oh, yeah. he's a otherworldly as well.
And gives, you know, just that giving back. Entertainers that put so much in their music but wanted to give back
mm-hmm.
to the people. How do you maintain, and you touched on it, your belief system? There's so much out there in the world. There's so much out there in the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
And you speak specifically about your faith in Allah. Let's speak about that, because how do you maintain your balance with everything going on around you?
Great question.
Yeah, and commit it to your path and doing it with such class.
Well, thank you. A sidebar, I actually, when I lived in L.A. about 3 years ago, I went to Sheila E.'s parents' house, and they were so warm and welcoming, and of course they had all sorts of instruments and photos of her and just like a loving family, but it was amazing the fact that I was able to be in touch with her family. She's a wonderful musician, and there are not many females in the music industry that does what she does. So I just wanted to say that. But as far as my faith and maintaining my religion, it's not that difficult, because my family, I have them, we're very, very close. My dad, of course, he's instilled so much in us about Islam, and he's a prime example of what a Muslim is, and I was able to see that, you know, from birth up until even now, with him making his salats 5 times a day. He's just so dedicated to the religion, and, you know, with him even being the commander of MAVA, the Muslim American Veterans Association, which they had this week, and he pretty much spearheads a lot of their events and everything. So he's very committed to that. And when you have people around you that show you the path that you should go, and, of course, it's up to me, you know, but I will say during this Corona, COVID time, with everything being shut down and even the matches being shut down, my dad started to have Jumas at the house every Friday, of course, and my entire family would come. So we would sit there and throughout the entire Juma, and he is the man, so he would perform the khutbah, and, you know, I started to see something in my dad that I'd never seen before, you know, just him being such a leader. And of course I always knew that he was committed to the religion, but even more so now that we are able to be together as a family and seeing him grow with his khutbahs and the information that he's giving. And even this Ramadan, of course I fasted as many days that I could, but I was able to, again, there's that word discipline, you know, with fasting. And you know, people that don't understand, like, hey, it's not that bad. It's just a matter of your mind and consistently doing it. It's just like exercising. You know, the more you do it, it becomes easier to you and your body adjusts. So with fasting, with reading the Quran, with making salats and getting up early in the morning to make that Fajr prayer, And my mom always said, if you can't do any of the prayers, at least do Fajr. Start off your day right with that. So I always keep that in mind. And I feel like it's easy to maintain because it's a consistent thing. I'm disciplining myself. I've been disciplining myself since a young girl. So there's no reason to feel like it's hard or, you know, having to please anyone else because, again, it's all for the pleasure of Allah and not for anyone else.
What is the most important thing your mother shared with you?
Most important thing? There's a lot of different things that she's shared with me, just a values on life. And one thing I will say she shared when I was maybe 8, 9 years old, I didn't really understand it then, but out of the blue, she just came up to me and she said, you know, make sure that you get your education, make sure that you make the right steps in life to set yourself up, you know, on your own, because you don't want to go into any type of relationship and you're not able to fend for yourself, you know. Be able to stand up on your own 2 feet as a woman and don't rely on anyone else to do that for you. So that's one thing that she's always instilled in me. And one other one that I would say is really important is to, she said, to always write everything down, to always take notes. And I am the note queen. I take down every single thing that I hear. I'm like, okay, I'm either putting it in my phone or writing it down on a piece of paper. I have notes sitting in front of me right now for this interview just in case I forget anything or, you know. So she's said so many different powerful things to me, but I think those would be two of my favorite things that she's instilled in me.
What do you admire about your siblings?
What do I admire about my siblings, you said?
Yes.
About my siblings. Okay, well, all four of them, not a nothing really. No, I'm just playing. I love my siblings. We are so close. I joke around sometimes. I love them so much. Aside from them all just individually being great at everything that they do, they're always so supportive of everything that I do and vice versa. My brother underneath me, his name is Nappy. He is a visual artist. We both graduated from Duke Ellington. We're a year apart, and we're like best friends. You know, we've always been really close, and he is a brilliant, brilliant mind. He has his own multimedia company entitled Creative Junk Food. He actually did the a visual for Georgia for turning their state blue, and John Legend retweeted it the day that it was announced that Georgia turned blue. He's an amazing spirit, a great person. He speaks up for himself. He's, you know, just a strong black man. My brother, Abdul Alim, he is extremely talented, one of the most talented people that I know. He's a singer, a rapper, he produces. There's a lot of people that come to him for creating music, Raheem Devon, Eric Benet, Jay Holiday, Nipsey Hussle. He's worked with so many different people, and he's well-deserved because he's just extremely talented. My sister Karima, she can do anything. She's the one that has the kids and the family, the only one. So she has 2 nephews. I admire her for being a great mom, and she's so intelligent. And anything that I need, she's always there for me, and we're really close as well. And my younger sister, Yusra, she's the baby of the family. And what I appreciate about her the most is that she's very supportive, and her and my sister have both assisted me in my careers, have some background for me, and, you know, it's nothing like that sister bond. But I appreciate all of them, you know, all four of them. They are, you know, a part of me, and I'm a part of them.
very talented family. This is wonderful. And you think about Georgia Going Blue.
Yes.
And I must mention Stacey Abrams, who ran for governor during midterm elections.
Yes.
And I was reading an article, and Stacey registered over 1 million voters during
yes.
that time.
Mm-hmm. I saw that as well.
So this art shows the world how we're all interconnected.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And how your music speaks to this. Earlier I asked about film. Have you gone in the direction of film?
You did ask me that. I'm sorry, I got so caught up in the other response.
That's okay.
Thank you. Yes, but a huge shout out to Stacey Abrams and her team. I actually read an article, and she said it wasn't just me. There were also 4 other women that were involved in registering voters in Georgia, and that's amazing. A lot of people say it's a conspiracy theory that, you know, whoever gets elected is who they want to elect, but I think it's all about the people and asking people, hey, can you get involved? Can you join me on this? So that's a big thing, and I appreciate her, and I'm sure a lot of great things are going to come her way. As far as film, that's one thing that I want to get more into as far as acting. And, you know, just I always saw myself as being portraying a superhero in film one day. So hopefully that will happen.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, that would be great. That's one of my dreams. So, you know, hopefully I'll get to do it, you know, before I turn, you know, 50 or something. So that way, you know, I'm able to move and, you know, just show off my chops on TV. I know it's going to take a lot of training to do that. But even other types of acting, you know, I'll be able to learn from people that I'm on screen with, and even television, I'm open to it all. And as far as my music being in film and TV, I do have a song on a Netflix film called Honey, and I wrote that song, co-wrote it with Gypsy Man Pro. So it's on Netflix now. It's called Honey. So you get to hear a little bit of it, but you can see that as well. But definitely that's one thing that I've been talking to with Brother Murad Muhammad about, just my goals in life, and inshallah, you know, him being a part of what I'm doing, that's one thing he knows, and my manager knows that I want to get into. And, you know, just realizing my dreams as an all-around entertainer, and hopefully one day being an EGOT, that's a great honor that I would love to have as well, to win Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and a Tony, maybe one day. But one step at a time.
What? I'm going to give you a 4. And I would like for you to share your heart for the world. You can speak specifically. You mentioned it earlier. And I would like to end with this. The unification of the world of like mind. And it's nothing like visiting various parts, even in the country of the United States of America, where people dance a little different or sing a little different. And I think about the you know, Louisiana culture. The foods. Share your favorite foods and what type of international foods you love. But end us today with your musical message. The unification of the world.
Well, I'll start off with with food, I love food. I'm a foodie. That's why I have to stay working out. I have my app that tracks my points and my calories, you know, everything that I'm eating, so I can stay on track because I love food. And living overseas as a young girl, you know, I got to experience the Turkish culture, and you know, I'm very just like open to all types of foods, and I watch the cooking channels, and sometimes I think I'm be able to be a chef like them, but whenever I make it, it doesn't turn out quite the way that they make it. So I'm always interested in learning different cultures and what they're eating. But I know it's simple, but I love couscous. I love that food. I haven't had it in a while, but I like it with all the different spices and being able to make it different ways. But I don't have a specific favorite food. I just love food, and I'm ready to experience different cultures, so that way I'm able to give you that answer. As far as the message in my music, that is extremely important for me. My name in itself, Art Array, is an acronym for Always Remain True and Array to the Energy. So always remain true to the energy. And the message in my music is simple but powerful. It's about love. It's empowering. It's about bringing people together and having a good time without having to be raunchy, you know, like you mentioned, to be classy. And it's not hard to do. It's just what's in me. And I feel like that's what a lot of people like to see. A lot of people want positive messages in music. I'm here to bring a balance within the music industry. I'm here to just shine light on the positive things in life, about love and even about heartbreak and about the way that you're using your mind, and whatever you do externally is always going to come internally and vice versa. So just a message of hope, especially nowadays, we all need that. So hope, empowerment, positivity, inspiration, and just bringing people together, community. It's about uplifting our community and bringing people together during these dark times.
And how may the listening audience hear more of your music, contact you on social media? You mentioned Instagram earlier. If you could share that with us, please.
Yes, thank you. You can go to my website. It's hellogoodtimes.art, or you can also go to iadoreart.com, and you'll be able to see my music videos, hear my music, be able to support me. I have a GoFundMe on my website as well. It's called Vote Art, and you're able to donate there to go towards my upcoming album and the marketing of it. And there are also incentives, like being able to come to my listening party. It'll more than likely be online because of the COVID, but also merchandise, signed merchandise from myself, and also personalized videos sent to you depending on the amount that you are able to donate. But every little amount is important, so $5, $10, $20, $100, whatever you can. Please feel free to go to hellogoodtimes.art. And also, art is worldwide on social media.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. This was wonderful. Thank you so, so much.
You're wonderful. I just want you to come back.
I would love to come back. Thank you.
It has been an exhilarating and magical experience.
Oh, same here.
This program is sponsored by New Africa Excellent and Wild Speaks. Thank you for joining us today. You can reach me, Salima Mohammed, at Salima, S-A-L-I-M-A-H, MOH77@gmail.com. Again, Artin, it's been a pleasure. You have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.